Hello, everyone. I'm TJ Tulloch, and this is a very special episode of Unnecessary Noise. It's not just any episode. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not saying we have a great show today. I'm saying this is a special episode, regardless of the content that we have on the show. Like, the content should be good. I'm hoping it's good. I'm hoping you find it entertaining. But it could be crap. And even if it is crap, it's still a milestone in this show's, as a whole, its run. You know why? Because it's the 50th episode of Unnecessary Noise. And it almost didn't happen this week. Let me tell you why. So I started to feel a little groggy last Sunday night after, on my way to bed, I was starting to feel not so hot. The next morning, Monday morning, I woke up with a cold. And I went to, I called my work. I said, I'm not coming in. I can't come in. I'm feeling sick. They told me to call 811, which is the hotline you call if you want to get tested for COVID-19. Not if you want to, it's to see if you need to go get tested for COVID-19. So I call the number. I tell them my symptoms. They tell me to go get checked out, just in case. Now, if you've never been tested for COVID-19, let me paint a picture of what happens. You drive up. For me, it was I drove into the Kwantlen Polytechnic University Langley campus parking lot. I think I had to book my appointment online first, but I drove in. And it's a weird drive-through. There's a bunch of people in biohazard uniforms and full personal protective equipment. It looks like one of the scenes. I think the best way to describe it is if you've ever played the video game Days Gone or any sort of zombie apocalypse type of video game. That's what it looks like. There are a lot of people in hazmat suits. You're driving through these corridors. They've set up these emergency corridors, and they hand you a form. You have to give them your information, your medical card number. I'm not sure if it was your driver's license. I don't think it was the driver's license. Anyway, you pull through, you wait, you pull through. Finally, you get to one of the stations. You roll down your window. Lady's in full garb. She walks up, and I'm trying to make a joke of it. I'm thinking, okay, I only have a cold too, right? Like, I don't have full-blown symptoms. I mean, I am asthmatic, so I am a little higher risk than some of the other people that have had COVID-19 or have been exposed to COVID-19. So I roll up, and what I had heard about the test is that they shove something up your nose to get the sample. So I decided I'm going to be kind of fun and joking because, you know, if you have something shoved up your nose, anytime someone's shoving something up your nose, that is going to be an uncomfortable situation, I feel like, for both participants, for the shovee and the shover, unless that's your thing. Which, it's not mine, but the only thing that I can relate shoving something up your nose to is, like, mummification. They shove, you know, when they shove that red-hot poker, they scramble the brains out, and then they pull out the brains through the nose when they're mummifying. That's in the movie The Mummy, the Brendan Fraser one, not the Tom Cruise one. Maybe it's in the Tom Cruise one. I didn't really watch that one. I heard it had Russell Crowe in there, too. I should watch that. Maybe I will watch that. Nevertheless, pulling up to the station, I decided to be super folksy. My mistake. And I said, hey, so I hear you're going to tickle my brain a little bit. He's like, lady looked at me. And also, it's not a very good joke. But I was trying to be folksy, you know, lighten the mood. And found out pretty quickly, you don't do that. It's like the border crossing. She was very, very professional. No, we are not going to tickle your brain. We are going to take a sampling from your nasal cavity. We need to get up into your sinuses. So if you could, please, tilt your head back. And so I immediately wiped the grin off my face. I was like, okay. And then I tilted my head back and felt this sharp pain into my nose. The best way to describe how the COVID test feels, it's like the first time you've you jumped into water and inhaled water through your nose. And that's the only way to describe it, because my eyes start tearing up and my nasal cavity goes numb. My head goes flying way back. And the only perk to this whole thing is that it's over very quickly. You just go, I think she had a smirk on her face when she took that giant straw out. I thought it was going to go through my sinuses out my nose, like I said. Or through my sinuses out my mouth. That's how far back that thing reached. So I get a tissue. They give you a tissue because you're dripping. You know, one of the symptoms for COVID-19 is having a runny nose. So if you didn't have a runny nose before, you sure as heck do when you leave. And then on my way out, I couldn't help myself. She's like, "Oh, that's it. You have a good day, sir." And I say to her, I'm like, "You guys should open up and sell cheeseburgers and hot dogs." And that was another dumb joke that did not get a response, probably because she's heard that one about 50 or 60 times. Like, she gets, you know, you think about it. How many people have to roll through there, drop the same goofy line? Yeah, I feel like I'm not alone in this, but at the same time, I still did it. What they wanted me to do then was wait for 48 hours, because they were going to call me in 48 hours. And if they hadn't called me back in 48 hours, I was supposed to check in. So I sign up for the website. I think 48 hours happened, and then I decided I'd at least sign up for the website, which I thought I had done when I handed in the papers, because while you're waiting in line, they give you a bunch of paperwork to fill out and stuff. And so I thought I had filled out this paperwork, but I said, I went online to see if there was anything, and they asked for a lab number, and I didn't know the lab number. So I decided I'd call them, and I give them a shout, and they say, because I figured at least, the other thing too is I wanted to at least have some sort of human connection, someone that could maybe go over the results. Same with having like an emailed piece of paper. You have something that kind of says, this is what was tested. Because I'm naturally curious, what about my snot were they testing? What part were they testing? And how many particles of whatever? I wanted to see the breakdown. You know, just out of curiosity. It's like getting your bank statement and realizing you've spent way too much at McDonald's, which I never do because I'm the most healthy eater in the world. But I phone Fraser Health, and I guess they're so backed up that they do not put you on hold when you call the hotline there. They automatically say, "We're unable to get to the phone right now. Text us. Just text. Just send me a text." So I text them, and the texting was like, "Hey, you up? Give me my results." They said, "Yeah." So finally, it was a little tricky to figure out the texting thing too, I think, because I don't like text. I don't like giving my number out to strangers, even if it is Fraser Health. I don't know what you're up to. No. And then it's no breakdown. It's just, "Hey, you tested negative." It's pretty much that casual. I think it was T. Tulloch tested negative, because I think you have to like do a little back and forth, giving them some information and stuff too, right? T. Tulloch tested negative for this on this date. Okay. So, I don't have COVID-19, which is good, because if I had it, we would not have a podcast today. Why? Maybe it's because I would have had trouble talking, because, you know, apparently COVID takes over your lungs and causes you to be very susceptible to pneumonia. I almost said mononia. I sometimes, when I'm talking, the words end up playing in rewind. It's like a DJ scratching, like, pneumonia, pneumonia. But honestly, the real reason would have been because if I'm sick and I'm spending a lot of time at home, I'm either procrastinating on doing homework or playing video games, which is, and actually procrastinating doing homework by playing video games. I would have been playing a lot of Fallout 4. And I know that's an old game that people played a long time ago and it's super glitchy, but it's just something that it's so dumbly addicting, building up the wasteland. And that's what it is. It's like, what are my priorities? To do a podcast for a half a dozen people or save the wasteland from a bunch of raiders? Yeah. Or super mutants. Ooh. I want to protect the Commonwealth. Come on. I feel like that's a noble cause. I mean, the podcast can wait. I mean, I don't know. These people need to eat. I need to build them some very stable trade routes. That's what you get sidetracked doing. And then you realize you're like, wow, this has been a very big time suck. I need to go record my 50th episode. These people are not real. They're just electrons in my PlayStation 4. Then you start thinking, maybe I'm an electron in the PlayStation 4. Am I a non-playable character? Am I an NPC? Whoa. And then it starts getting really scary. So that's when I just shut the PlayStation off and start recording my podcast. Because if I am a non-playable character, I'd rather be 3Dog from Fallout 3, the radio DJ that goes and hypes up strange wanderers. Moving on, 50th episode, I'm here, Corona couldn't stop me, Fallout 4 couldn't stop me, an essay and a midterm couldn't stop me, I'm here to do episode 50. And I wanted to talk about just a little bit of the history of 50 episodes. First, why? Because I've never done 50 of anything. Never done 50 push-ups, never done 50 sit-ups, maybe I've done 50 push-ups. I've never benched more than 50 pounds. I've never, that last one's not true. That last one is not true. I have to say that to save my street cred. Now, if anyone's been following this show since its inception, you'll realize that episode one is not called Unnecessary Noise. It's called the TCast. And I think I did about three or four before I made the official switch. And the reason I did that was because I thought Unnecessary Noise was a little more of what we were going to be talking about. And the reason I was so hesitant was because I don't like switching the brand up for the sake of switching a brand. I learned that a long time ago. You don't need to necessarily just keep switching your brand in order to make an improvement. Sometimes you can subdivide, but that's only once you have a following. Why confuse your audience more? So that was at least the thought. And so I had originally done a show, the very first podcast I'd ever done, back in 2000 and, well, I want to say 2009, maybe 2008, it might have been 2010, 2011. I want to say somewhere around that. It was called the Thundercast. And this is kind of the history of how we've gotten to this point. Thundercast, where me and another co-host, David, was at the time, and then sometimes we'd have a guy named Nielsen, sometimes we'd have Will, sometimes we'd have Ryan. They'd come in, and we would argue about two very different things. So one person would be a movie. It would be like either a person or a movie, like James Bond versus John McClane. Which is better, in your opinion, football or hockey? You know, stupid things where we just ramble about kind of what was the best. And the reason we called it Thundercast, like the Thunderdome in Mad Max 4. The problem is calling it the Thundercast made it sound too much like Thundercats, like the TV show. There was also a Thundercast for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And don't get me wrong, I love the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, I like them more than when they were the Seattle Supersonics. I think basketball's great, but we were getting people upset because we were calling ourselves the Thundercast, and they felt misrepresented. Trigger warning on the Thundercast. So, instead of the Thundercast, I decided to shorten it to TCast, because that way I could do podcasts without my co-hosts, and just because I had all the equipment anyway. It's my studio. It's my toys. And I could basically do it whenever I wanted and say whatever I wanted. I shortened it to the T-Cast, and then I just stopped doing it. You know, life got in the way. Ended up doing a show for a couple years called The Oddly Entertaining Show, which was fine, which was fun. But then I wanted to, that was its own entity with its own co-host, and I decided to respect that. So we decided to come back, start the old T-Cast again. Start it up. Well, the problem is, within the span of 8 years from whenever I started the podcast, you know, a lot of people decided that they could do a podcast too. A lot of people had good podcasts, and a lot of people had T-Cast podcasts called T-Cast. So I was like, well, you know what? I think we can change the name. Because what is a T-Cast anyways? Sounds like a podcast about metals. You know? Hello, we're going to be bronzing someone's baby doll today on here on the T-Cast. That's what we're going to be doing. And afterwards, we're going to talk to Devin. He's a welder. And he's going to tell us about how you can get your Red Seal ticket. That's what the show sounded like. I thought, now let's switch it to Unnecessary Noise about two or three episodes in. I should have done a search before, but I ended up doing it after. I should have done a search for podcasts called the T-Cast before I decided to call it the Unnecessary Noise. Now, the reason I called it Unnecessary Noise was because back on Halloween night, early 2000s, I'm in high school, and I decide I'm going to play a prank on a couple of my friends that are standing on a street corner. I think we had just seen our buddy's band play. And so we're driving by, and as we drive by, I'm in the back seat of the Echo, and I hold it outside the window and press the air horn as loud as I can for as long as I can, right? Big beep, 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 beep. Suddenly, red blue lights come up right behind us. Cop pulls us over, and he looks at me, and I didn't realize this, but at the other time, on the other side of the road, there was a big fire. I guess there had just been a big fire, and I was oblivious because we'd just come out of the show. I think it was a coffee house called Ethical Addictions, and it was right on the corner of Fraser Highway and Glover. You know, right when Fraser Highway becomes that one-way street. So I get over there, and he's like, "What are you doing, man? How dare you disrespect it?" I'm like, I was just messing with those guys over there who had conveniently ducked into the coffee shop now and were watching me from the coffee shop while I get this ticket. He gave me a ticket for Unnecessary Noise. That's how I came up with the name. This podcast is a mindless ramble sometimes. And is it necessary? No. Is whipped cream necessary on your pie? Not necessarily. Do you like it? Yeah. So that's how we came up with Unnecessary Noise. That's the 50th. That's my little tribute on this 50th episode of Unnecessary Noise, which I guess it's probably 47 because it's like technically 47 of episodes of Unnecessary Noise, but 50 of the T-Cast. But I'm concluding this as the big run of Unnecessary Noise. Still the same show, just different name. Did you know? Here's another weird one. Did you know that Saved by the Bell had a different name for its first year? You guys remember Saved by the Bell? It was supposed to be a show that was going to revive Haley Mills' career. I can't remember what it was called, but it was all the kids in junior high, and it was like Miss Something or Other, and they were junior high. It still had Zach Morris, still had AC Slater. I'm pretty sure it had Lisa Turtle and Kelly Kapowski and all the people. Definitely, it definitely had Screech. I want to say it had Screech. But the show kind of stunk, but they liked these kids. And so they said, well, we'll put them in the high school. We'll just grade them up, and we'll keep them in the same thing, but they'll do the high school. Because I think Haley Mills left after 1 year. She was like, peace, I'm out. This was fun, but nah, not for me. So, if you don't know who Haley Mills is, every Disney movie made in the 1960s that was live action pretty much starred her. Pollyanna, Parent Trap, Freaky... Was she Freaky Friday? I want to say she was Freaky Friday. Maybe not. Pollyanna and Parent Trap. Big ones for her. Disney child superstar. Just a random thought. That was just a random note of another show that changed its branding, had a successful run. Because something wasn't working. That something was apparently Haley Mills. Moving on to some headlines. Now, it was Halloween, and I wanted to talk about this really, probably the creepiest Halloween prank that I heard about all night. Aside from all the fireworks that were going off in my neighborhood. If you aren't a Canadian, I'm not sure how this works in the States, because I know the States, their big fireworks celebration is the 4th of July. They get the firecrackers and the fireworks out. In Canada, it's Halloween. We usually, or at least in British Columbia, I don't want to speak for all of Canada. British Columbia, it has been traditionally Halloween, that time of year. Now, the restrictions have gotten more, have tightened a lot more, especially in the past 15, 20 years, but probably because people were blowing their hands up with firecrackers and bottle rockets. And yeah, you used to be able to go and get a ton of fireworks. Now I think, I'm not sure where you get them. Some it differs municipality to municipality, but you can still get them around because people are firing them off everywhere. That has nothing to do with this next story. I just wanted to say that was a little Halloween aside. So, a Swedish or Scandinavian Burger King had this really creepy McDonald's prank they pulled. Okay, so you go into a Burger King bathroom, and if you say the words "canceled clown" three times in front of the mirror, the lights dim, and there's a noise that makes, there's visual effects on the screen behind this two-way smart mirror. I guess it was developed by a Swedish agency called Ingo Stockholm, and it was trained to listen to the phrase "canceled clown." Now, I'm not sure how many people are saying "canceled clown" when they're washing their hands. That's a little odd to me. But I guess they had pictures. A few years ago, the clown was abruptly canceled from his longstanding job at a certain hamburger chain, the Burger King said in a text accompanying the campaign. But this Halloween, he is back at Burger King restrooms. If you do dare summon him, it might be worth your while. So, that is referring to, I guess they had some text next to some of these restrooms. I'm curious, I would love to see a picture of this, but then I also don't, because I'm creeped out of clowns, because I'm not that creeped out of clowns. A lot of people are, a lot of people think it's weird. I'm just like, whatever. They're, yeah. I don't know. No, indifferent. I think it's weird if you have a picture of this, because that means you were taking pictures in the bathroom and you can't do it. So it's kind of a brilliant prank. You can't really describe it because no one's going to go in and take a picture in the bathroom while you're saying "canceled clown." Also, what happens to everybody else in the bathroom? Is it a one-person stall? There's so many questions I have about this. Let's imagine you're just an innocent bystander, like urinating, doing your business. You know, you're in one of the stalls. Suddenly the lights dim and you hear this creepy music. I'm freaking out. I don't know. If I can't see where I'm going too, like I might start peeing all over the place. I'm not saying that'll happen, but it could. Yeah. Maybe McDonald's is really trolling them. But the whole thing they're referring to as far as the canceled clown is concerned is, I think in 2011, they tried to cancel Ronald McDonald for the same reason they canceled Joe Camel. They're implying that clowns should not be advertisements should not be targeted at children, especially for fast food. Okay. Well, maybe. How about you just teach your kids to eat healthy and make good choices when they're eating? That can be a thing too. Teach your kids to live in moderation. You know? It's not, of course the big corporations are going to sell you something. But anyway, cancel clown. What about Ronald McDonald House? Can't we just send him? Maybe he doesn't have to be a spokesperson for McDonald's now. Now he just runs the Ronald McDonald House. He's like, yeah, I worked fast food for a while. Now I'm over here at Ronald McDonald House. Because that does a lot of good work, right? I think it's better than the other mascot, Captain Croc, where it's just a, you know, Ray Kroc impersonator in a cowboy hat or sailor cap. I don't know. What else would you do? Grimace? I think Grimace is more of a threat. Grimace and the Hamburglar and Mayor McCheese, those guys are a lot more of a threat. Was it Birdie was another one? Anyway, that's beside the point. I don't ever want to step into a Burger King bathroom now. Not that I was craving to ever before, but now I'm out. Washing my hands of it. Don't want to do it. Leave me alone. Okay, I had to look it up. I did. I may have paused the podcast for a bit just because I had to look it up. I didn't want to break in the energy. Saw it. The eyes are beady and glowy, and you just kind of see this creepy silhouette. It's a dark, I'm going to say this, I'd be terrified, especially, and by the all accounts, it looks like it's just a public bathroom that anyone can use. There are multiple users for this bathroom. You don't just go in one at a time. So again, if you're, you know, let's say you're a little backed up, you're in one of the stalls. Ooh, no, no. Oh, that's creepy. I don't know what to tell you. Just stay away from Burger King bathrooms. Maybe do the drive-thru, but then again, I don't know. What are they going to do in the drive-thru? I'm going to move on. I'm done with this topic. It's too creepy. It's November. No longer Halloween. I think it's a great prank. I'm never stepping into a Burger King bathroom. That's the point. So, my next topic is that scientists and researchers have found out that paradox-free time travel is theoretically possible, researchers say. So, they've always said, one of the things that in time travel movies is that if you go back and affect something in the past, you're going to change the future, right? So you're never going to go back to the full future. And the whole thing is, like, there's always been the paradox about what happens if you go back and kill your grandfather. Would that mean you would never be born, right? Or kill your father before, you know, before he met your mother. Would that mean that you'd never been born or whatever, you know? Paradoxes like that. Even like, but then there's also the chaos theory where it's just, you know, every minute move that you make affects change. So just by going back into time, you can technically alter, you'd be altering reality. So someone might make a different decision just by your presence being back there, even though you didn't seemingly affect something. Like you bend a blade of grass and, you know, something horrible happens on the other side of the world. It sets off a chain reaction. Well, the good news, like I said, paradox-free time travel is possible. Now, all those things that I just said, like, you know, going back in time, you can technically, theoretically do it. Not technically. You can theoretically do it, apparently. So, so the article starts off with a quote from Stephen King saying, "The past does not want to be changed." And it was in a book about a man who goes attempts to go back and prevent the Kennedy assassination. Turns out King might have been onto something. They always, talks about the science fiction and how people have always talked about the paradoxes. But according to a new paper from researchers at the University of Queensland, even if time travel were possible, the paradox couldn't actually exist. Researchers ran the numbers and determined that even if you made a change in the past, the timeline would essentially self-correct, ensuring that whatever happened to send you back in time would still happen. So say you traveled back in time in an attempt to stop COVID-19's patient zero from being exposed to the virus. University of Queensland scientist Fabio Costa told the university's news service. However, if you stopped that individual from becoming infected, that would eliminate the motivation for you to go back and stop the pandemic in the first place, said Costa, who co-authored the paper with honors with an honors undergraduate student, Jermaine Tobar. These are great names, by the way. I love it. Fabio Costa and Jermaine Tobar. We're in grade three together. No, we weren't. This is a paradox and inconsistency that often leads to people to think that time travel cannot occur in our universe. Again, they mentioned the grandfather paradox, and then they say that such a paradox wouldn't necessarily exist because the events would adjust themselves. Take coronavirus patient zero, for example. You might try and stop patient zero from becoming infected, but in doing so, you would catch the virus and become patient zero, or someone else would. So no matter what you did, the salient events would just recalibrate around you. Reversible dynamics with closed time-like curves and freedom of choice. Wow. So basically they're saying that's kind of a head trip. I wonder, in a way then, are they talking about destiny? Because if they're talking about the fact that you can't go back in time and correct yourself, they're talking about small movements. They're saying that certain things are going to be predetermined regardless of whether you go back and change them or not. Wow. Does that mean you don't have a choice in what you're about to do? Does that mean we're all just NPCs in Fallout 4? I don't know. This is making my head hurt. But yeah, I thought that was kind of cool though. On the flip side, the good news, let's say you do go back in time. You want to see what the Rome Colosseum was like in its heyday. You can do it. People aren't going to get worried. You want to go see a toga party in the flesh. What happens? It's not going to be a big deal. Sure, you might get an extra hieroglyphic about you if you're in the Egyptian times. I don't know. And your DeLorean pulls up. Maybe one. But it will recalibrate. It's not going to be a big deal. Yeah. I wonder if that starts playing into multiverse theory. I got to read this article more. That is a head trip. You're still going to walk into that Burger King bathroom no matter what. Even if you go back and tell yourself, don't walk into that Burger King bathroom and say, cancel the clown. Canceled clown? Three times. You're still going to end up doing it. Still going to happen. I don't know. Anyway, we're moving on. I've got one Scambi C thing that I wanted to read out today because I thought it was kind of funny. And then we're going to close this show off because I think we've said enough for today. The quote was, the tweet was, Saanich police, it's always Saanich too, are responding to 4200 block of Quadra after someone in a vehicle threw a hot dog at the complainant. Now, the person that made the complaint, was this a drive-by hot dogging? Where did it come from? Was it a walk-by, like the guy just threw it? Did he drop it from a balcony? Was it precision? Where did it hit this person? And it just says it was a hot dog. Doesn't say where it hit them. Say threw a hot dog at the complainant. Was there mustard on the hot dog? What type of garnishes? Why is someone throwing away a perfectly good hot dog? Maybe he had an extra one, or she, or they had an extra one, tosses it out the window, thinking, hey, you know what? I'm spreading goodwill. I'm the hot dog king. That's what I'm going to do. Everybody likes a little tube steak now and then. I'm just being merry. This is my new brand. Come eat my dogs. I don't know. Don't. That sounds like a horrible phrase. That is going to get zero customers. Come eat our dogs. No, do not. Don't use that catchphrase. Weird. I'm just so fascinated. And then why are you throwing a hot dog out? What was the altercation before that?
I was just standing here. Guy threw a hot dog at me. Didn't like it. I only eat all beef hot dogs. This was on an all beef hot dog.
And then he gets there. What if the police get there and they realize it's a Smokey? Do they leave? They're like, nah. We thought this was a hot dog. We're nah. Sorry, bud. I don't know. All they can do is take a statement. Assault by hot dog. Was it a frozen hot dog? Was it a cooked hot dog? Was the hot dog in a bun? Yes. That's right. 50 episodes in, and we are talking about a man that got hit with a hot dog. We don't know where. We don't know what was on the hot dog. We don't know why it was thrown at him or her. Could have been a complainant. It just said a complainant. Could have been a lady getting pasted with a hot dog. I don't know. Anyway, 50 episodes in, this is what we're talking about. Moral of the story, I guess, 50 episodes in, and it's don't go into a Burger King bathroom, even if it means you're going to avoid getting hit with a hot dog. How about that? Episode 50 is in the books. Once again, that's our show. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TJ Tolick and on Snapchat, TJ's Corner. Thank you so much, and see you next week.